Current state on 90.5 WKAR. Glad you're along. I'm Mark Bayshore. If you'd like to reach us, we're available via email at currentstate@wkar.org. Yesterday, a public panel in East Lansing may have moved the city a little closer to redeveloping some key downtown space. The city's Park District Review Team made recommendations regarding specific development companies and their plans for that space. Many are eager to get started developing the largely derelict area west of Abbott Road and north of Grand River. And following a public hearing yesterday, the panel recommended that the City Council focus on plans from both DTN Management, based in Lansing Township, and Lurvy White, based in Flint. And joining us to explain in more detail is Community and Economic Development Administrator for the City of East Lansing, Lori Mullins. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Remind us what part of East of downtown East Lansing is getting called the Park District these days.
Yes, this is the area that's west of Abbott Road and north of Grand River Avenue. It was previously called City Center 2, as we looked at a project there over the course of several years. And last summer, the city decided to move forward with looking at redevelopment proposals for the properties that are controlled by the DDA and the city, which is about half of what was City Center 2. So it adjoins Abbott Road and goes back to Valley Court Park, and that's why we're calling it the Park District area, is really looking at a larger area there that has a lot of potential for redevelopment, but the RFQP, or Request for Qualifications and Proposals, was specifically for the properties that are controlled by the DDA and the city.
And what's the acreage in the Park District then of the land that we're talking about here?
It's about 2.8 acres.
Okay. And what has the Park District Review Team been doing since February or so? Tell us about that process.
They've held 5 meetings, and they began with reviewing 7 proposals. One of those was withdrawn early in the process. They interviewed 6 different groups that had submitted the other 6 proposals, and they went through a scoring process looking at the different qualifications criteria, which was in the RFQP. Now, the RFQP was developed with a lot of input from our community. We started off by holding some community meetings last fall and coming up with a list of information that needed to be in the proposals, as well as what the community wanted to see in the overall outcome at the end of this process. And so this process that the review committee went through, the 5 meetings, was to look at these proposals in detail and score them based on the criteria and then make a recommendation to City Council.
And tell us about those criteria.
Well, the criteria were divided into 2 categories. There's qualifications based on the ability of the contract of the developers to complete a project of this scale and complexity, their financial capacity, and the like. And then there's different proposal criteria, which looked at really what the development groups were proposing to build there and how that met the needs that were described as the community's needs.
So each of the companies that participated did submit a specific plan for developing the space.
Yes, we did ask for those plans to be very conceptual, because there is a requirement that once a development group is selected that they would further define their proposals and come up with something with additional input from the community. So they were conceptual, and we saw a variety of different proposals that had different levels of detail.
So both DTN and Lurvy White are prepared to be a little flexible as we move forward.
Correct.
Okay. What? Tell us a little bit about each of their plans then. Let's start with DTN.
Okay, well, DTN's vision is to redevelop a larger area than what was included in the RFQP. So they're looking at some other sites around the park, as well as the privately held land that's on the corner of Abbott and Grand River.
The bank building.
Exactly, yep. And so they're looking at a larger redevelopment with a multi-phased approach. And they had in their proposal a boutique hotel, housing of various types, unique restaurants, specialty grocer, bake branch, and other commercial and retail space.
And what about Lurvy White?
Lurvy White's vision was to create a Main Street environment off Grand River Avenue. So it would be an extension of Albert Street with their philosophy is pulled from Project for Public Spaces. They talked about the power of 10 rule, which is really a thought that in order for a place to be vibrant and attractive as a destination, it needs to have at least 10 unique and interesting things to do there. And so that was what their vision was really built off from. They provided a couple of different versions of their plan, which included, the first one included about 315,000 square feet of new development, much smaller than the DTN proposal, but it included housing, including a small number of condos, a hotel, retail space, office space, and about a 20,000 square foot year-round farmer's market.
Tell us more about this Power of 10. What kinds of activities? Do you know what kinds of activities are the kinds that are included in this Power of 10?
Well, what they specifically said in their proposal was, you know, to have the types of different interesting, unique retailers, dining opportunities, the farmer's market piece, but then also things that aren't commercial in nature. So along the streetscape, maybe having some tables with chessboards and some different things like that. So, and you know, to expand upon it, things that weren't in their proposal, it would be, you know, a fountain where you can make a wish, or there's, you know, you just start adding to it with different things that people make part of their routine when they come downtown that makes it more interesting and more attractive as a destination.
And as this process moves forward, is the idea that either DTN or Lurvy White will get the gig, or is there a chance they could both play a role in what happens down there?
The way it's envisioned right now, one would be selected. So the city council will go through their own review process. They'll select one developer to move forward with and do a what we call a pre-development agreement. And in that process, then we further define the proposals, get additional community input, and really ensure that the project that is being proposed is feasible and can move forward.
Did you say that DTN's plan did not include the former bank building then? And Lurvy White's did?
No, it's the opposite.
It's the other way around.
Yes,
I beg your pardon.
DTN's does include the former bank building, meaning the former Citizens Bank building. There was also the Fifth Third building there,
right,
which they both include. But DTN's is the larger proposal that includes the Citizens Bank building.
Okay, that's a pretty big piece. What is the status of that right now, of the bank building?
Well, DTN has an option on that building, and we will have to sort of wait and see how that works out, because it's still in a redemption period with the former owners.
How much public involvement here these past couple of months? Would you say the public was pretty involved in this, or less involved than expected, or what?
I would say they were very involved. We did have several members of the community at each of the committee meetings. We also had a group that signed up for updates, and so we've been sending out email updates about the project itself to a number of people, and there's still the opportunity to sign up for those updates if anybody would like to do that. On the website for the project is cityofeastlansing.com/park district, and all of the information about the project is on there, as well as the spot where you sign up for those updates.
And now the ball is in the hands of the city council, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and what is there some kind of timeline that's attached to this process?
Well, the city council will officially receive the recommendation in June, and they'll hold a work session to discuss that. Then they'll also, or it will be discussed at one of their regular work sessions, and then they'll lay out the process at that time as far as interview schedule and things like that.
And they will just go deeper into feasibility, into design, into financial issues.
Correct.
Everything that's associated with that is taken over by the city council in June.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Talk to us about construction in East Lansing.
Yeah.
How long will the orange barrel season last, and how pervasive will it be here the rest of the summer?
Well, right now we have MDOT doing construction throughout Grand River Avenue and Michigan Avenue in our downtown, and they are right on schedule and doing great work. We are seeing improvements to the sidewalks and
you must get a certain amount of flack from the public this time over this.
Of course, it is an inconvenience, but it's something that's going to wind up being a big improvement. And so I just want to encourage everybody to continue to come downtown. It's really not that hard to get past those orange barrels. The streets are open. The businesses are all open. We want to encourage people to continue to come downtown this summer and shop and go to our nice, unique little restaurants and and get ice cream and sit in Fountain Square. We've got a lot of great community events coming up.
Sounds good. Lori Mullins is Community and Economic Development Administrator for the City of East Lansing. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.